145. We never know what's the best time for these afternoon services. Seems like if we wait till 1:30, we tend to lose more people by their drifting away. It seems like that's such a long time to wait for the afternoon service. And 1 o'clock, you don't know if you're rushing things or not. But I think this 1 o'clock time is probably the best. Gets us taking care of business and gets everybody home at a decent time to take a nice long nap. This is my time to be in my chair. About 12 o'clock, I'm down in my chair Sunday afternoon. The good news is, I only have 3 pages of notes. Literally. I want us to read the entire psalm, all 21 verses. Psalm 145. It is an acrostic psalm. It is a Hebrew alphabet psalm. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of these verses starts with one of those letters. Somewhere around verse 13, they tell me, the Hebrew letter Nun, N-U-N, is omitted from this psalm. So it's an alphabet psalm, an acrostic type psalm based upon the Hebrew alphabet, with all but one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait on thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked shall he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. I think verse 3 is really the key to this song. I think it says everything that Psalm 145 is trying to say. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. God is great. He's worthy of our greatest praise, and his greatness is unsearchable. Means it's unfathomable. The greatness of God is beyond our ability to grasp, to understand. And David is resolved. He's resolved to praise his great God. As I said this morning, quoting the one man who said, it's not that David loved to praise as much as he saw that God was worthy of praise. It's not so much that David loved to praise God, as we're sure he did, but David saw him who was worthy of such praise. He was resolved to praise the Lord. This is said to be the last psalm of David. It's a psalm of praise. It's David's psalm of praise. It seems to come towards the end of his life. And all that he had learned, and all that he had seen, and all that God had revealed to him, all the revelation that he had concerning God seems to climax in this psalm. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who loved the Lord, praised the Lord with all of his might. David was a man who saw the Lord after all these many years, and in this psalm tried, humanly speaking, to praise that Lord. He says in verse 1, I will extol thee. The word extol means to praise, to lift up, to exalt. I will extol thee, David says. Second part of verse number 1, he says, I will bless thy name forever. I will bless thy name forever. In verse number 2, David says, every day will I bless thee. And the second part of verse number 2, I will praise thy name forever. This is quite the psalm to do an examination of yourself on. Maybe it's the worst psalm we might want to pick to really evaluate where we stand in relationship to God. Do we see our Lord is great? Do we believe he's greatly to be praised? He deserves the greatest of praise? Do we see his greatness as unsearchable, unfathomable? Have we in any way, shape, or form come close to the resolve that David has here to extol God, to bless his name forever, every day to bless him, to praise his name? Do we have such a resolve? Do we come anywhere close to having that phrase that I've quoted a couple times today said of us? It's not that we love or we enjoy praising the Lord, but we have seen how worthy he is of our praise. Is that said of us today in relationship to our praising him? Is it not so much that we love to praise him that motivates us? Or have we ever really seen God as he is, as he is revealed to us, as he gives us revelation of himself? In this psalm, first three verses, David uses three of the names for God. I think they're similar to what we have seen recently in Genesis 17. First of all, in verse number one, I will extol thee, my God, capital G-O-D. That's Elohim. That's Elohim. Elohim, that name for God, means he is supreme. I think it leads us into our understanding that he is sovereign. Then, in the last part of verse number one, David says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. And he opens that last part with, O King. O King, K-I-N-G, speaks of his royalty. And it is said that this psalm is written at a time when David is at the height of his power. At one time, David was one of the greatest kings upon the earth. David was a great king over Israel. Some say the greatest king over Israel. Solomon was his son, the greatest man of wisdom, and he was a great king. I guess it would be a matter of debate which one would qualify as the greater. But when he calls God his king, it's important to note that this is coming from the mouth of one who was a king, who was one of great success as a king. And he acknowledges him as Elohim, my supreme God, my king. As a king, God is my king and over me and over all. And in verse number three, David says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You find the third name for God that David uses there in verse 3 in the word Lord. Capital O, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, all uppercase. Lord, meaning Jehovah. Jehovah is the self-existing, the eternal, the all-sufficient, all-supplying God. Elohim, the supreme sovereign one, King, my King, greater than I, King over all, King of all, and Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal, all-sufficient, all-supplying God. I am resolved to praise Him, to exalt Him, to extol Him. How is He going to do this in this psalm? First of all, He says, I will bless thee forever. It's never going to cease. I will bless thee. I will bless the Lord. I will bless my King. I will bless Jehovah. I will bless Elohim forever. I'll never cease. I'll never stop. Not only does He say, I will bless thee forever, He states that I will bless thee every day. So He's going to bless the Lord, praise the Lord, extol the Lord. He's going to do that by blessing Him forever, without end, perpetually. He's going to do that forever, perpetually, every single day. One day after another, as each day comes, I'm going to praise Him. So I'm going to bless Him forever, every day I'm going to bless Him. And another way He's going to do that is by one generation praising His works to another generation. I will bless Him forever, every day I'm going to bless Him. One generation to the next, I'm going to praise Him. So in verse 1 and 2, we're told, great is the Lord. In verse 3 through 21, we're told why. We're told why He is so great. What is so great about Him. In verse 1, 2, and 3, and then verse number 21, David says, I will praise thee. I will praise thee. I have seen thee. I have caught a glimpse of thee. You have shown me yourself. You have revealed yourself to me. So I will praise thee because you are worthy of my praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. You'll notice in verse 1 through 6, there are six times where David speaks those words, I will. Usually when we speak about a man saying anything that begins with I, we usually say that's a big mistake. Only God can say I, and most of the time, be unquestionable. It's not always a good thing when mere human beings use I too much. But in those first six verses, six times, David says, I will. And it is appropriate because he says, I will praise the Lord. He is determined that he is going to praise the Lord. So in verse 1 through 3 and in verse 21, David says, I will praise thee. In verse 4 through 9, David says, men will praise thee. Verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. All men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So I will praise the Lord. Men will praise the Lord. And in verse 10 through 20, David says, all of creation shall praise the Lord. Or if it's not all of his creation, all of his acts, all of his works will praise him. Verse number 10, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. All the way down through verse 20, we see God's creation, or all of his acts, A-C-T-S, or all of his works will praise him. In looking at this psalm, seeing God, praising him, extolling him, exalting him, seeing him, I want to read to you a summation by a man on this work. As he lists for us the characteristics of God in this psalm, he rules as king over all forever. Verse 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. He rules as king, underlined, over all, underlined, forever. Amen. He rules. God rules. His greatness is unsearchable. You find that in verse number 3. Unfathomable. Try as we may, it's beyond our comprehension. Anybody who's bold and brazen enough to say they understand God is most deceived. Because God is unsearchable, he's unfathomable. God does mighty works. Verse 4, 5, and 6. He is glorious in his majestic splendor. Verse number 5. He is full of abundant goodness to all. Verse 7 and 9. He is righteous in all his ways. Verse 7 and 17. He is gracious and merciful. Verse 8. He is slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Verse number 8. He sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Verse 14. He gives food to the hungry. Verse 15 and 16. He is kind in all of his deeds. Verse 17. He is near to all who call upon him in truth, verse 18. He fulfills the desire and saves those who fear him, verse 19. He keeps all who love him, verse 20. He will destroy. I find it very poignant in all of these descriptions of God. He doesn't leave out, omit, or have us overlook the fact that he will destroy all of the wicked. He is kind and he is good. He lifts up those that are fallen. He is abundantly good to all. Saved or lost, his or not his. But he will destroy all the wicked. Verse 21 tells us his name is holy. And trying to come up with a word to describe God, if it is possible, it's hard to get away from the word holy. He is holy. So those are the descriptions of his characteristics in this 145th Psalm. Now, this man who made this list was preaching from Psalms 145. And he speaks of the characteristics of God fanatics. Are you a God fanatic? Just as he lists the characteristics of God in these 21 verses, he lists the characteristics of somebody who is a God fanatic. A God fanatic is described as such. They extol God and bless his name continually. Is that you? Is that me? They are enthralled with his greatness. Is that you? Is that me? They tell the next generation about his mighty works. Verse 4. Is that you? Is that me? The generations that are coming after us, our children, our grandchildren, do we tell them of his mighty works? They meditate often on God's glorious majesty and wonderful works, according to verse 5. They tell others about God's greatness. Verse number 6. They bubble over with God's abundant goodness and his righteousness. Verse number 7. They are awed by his grace, love, goodness, and mercy. Verse 8 and 9. Are we awed at God's grace, God's love, God's goodness, God's mercy? A God fanatic, they rejoice in the majesty of his kingdom. Verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. They are touched by his kindness to the needy. Verse 14 through 20. They look to God to meet their daily needs, 15 and 16. They know God as both righteous and kind, verse 17. They call upon the Lord in prayer, verse 18. They both fear and love God. Their desires are satisfied in the Lord as their Savior and Keeper. Verse 19 through 20. They know that He will judge the wicked. Verse 20. They determine to speak God's praise and bless His holy name forever. Verse number 21. And this man ends his little sermon, his little outline, by saying, I pray that we all join the ranks of unabashed God fanatics. And I pray today that all of us might become God fanatics. That's what David was. That's what he reveals to us in Psalm 145. This is what is seldom seen amongst the sons of men, people of the world. There's too much of ourselves, too much of our wants, too much of our desires, too much of what's comfortable and convenient for us. Too much of a hesitancy to be called a fanatic about anything. But I think to be a fanatic for God would be a good thing, would be a good aim, a good target. God is who David saw. He saw the Lord is great. He saw the Lord worthy of being greatly praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Years and years ago, when I was just a kid, another one of those memories, Brother Doug King from Gotha, Florida, back then, I think he's somewhere else, but still living, last I heard. But he came to Gethsemane Baptist Church for revival. And he taught us to sing this little portion of the Psalms. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of this whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. I sing that, but I won't sing it for you today. I remember he didn't have music, and Mike Locke, the pastor's son, who's now dead, was able to put notes to it and tune to it. But I often remember those words, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Let's have a word of prayer, be dismissed. Thanksgiving. It's really all about recognizing God, praising God, extolling God. It's not saying thank you for the food and thank you for a home and thank you for the comforts and thank you for the little things, but it's thank you, God. It's seeing God as the great God that He is. And I pray God will give us a little bit better view of Him. And we'll be ate up with a desire to praise Him if we can. And I know I don't want to cross too many lines and get sideways on anything. But if you'll seriously try to get a vision of God, you'll fall before him saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you'll believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll just get a little bit better vision of what God is and who God is, you're going to see yourself and you're going to cry out and you're going to be saved. And I hope it's soon. Let's pray.